This is Kaylee Welch, and you are listening to the most thermodynamically sound podcast in the world.
In a bus with newsrooms, smoking Marlboro Reds. Two men work the beat, just as brave as can be. Rod Palmer has a heart of gold, pen sharp as a knife. Dick Greaser investigating, Pot can bring shadows to light. Every week on the Bugle, their voices ring so true. They're the heartbeat of the nation, bringing the news to you. Rod and Dick keep on rolling through the thick and the thin, with a fire that keeps burning that won't let the darkness win. On the Bugle Weekly, face falls all the lies, digging deep for the truth under those chemtrail skies. With the notebooks,
welcome to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. This is Richard Greaser coming off air. Absolutely massive week. I would say that we single-handedly revived Bitcoin Twitter. Bitcoin Twitter is back on track. It was dead. It was dormant for a while. It was just dominated by bots and NGU posts, and now the memers are back. The memers are activated. Teddy Bitcoin's the world's villain that was necessary. The champion of Maxi Madness, the well-deserving champion who also is... Swan Bitcoin's biggest enemy at the moment. He helped to revitalize and get the memers activated and mobilized. So I'm excited about that. How you doing, Rod? What do you got going on?
Doing well. It's been a busy week. Year two of Maxi Madness was a smashing success. And in year two, like year one, a memer, someone from the memer division, won Maxi Madness. I don't know if somebody from a different region is capable of winning Maxi Madness, but so far, it's 2-for-2 to the memers. And, you know, some people are mad about Teddy Bitcoins winning Maxi Madness, and some people call Teddy Bitcoins a scammer. However, you know, I did some research. I talked to a lot of sources, and I put out, you know, a call in some group chats to ask for any evidence of Teddy Bitcoins buying votes. No evidence of it, just allegations. And I asked for evidence that Teddy Bitcoins had scammed anybody, that he was a scammer. And so far, I can't find a single person who's been scammed by Teddy Bitcoins. So these are baseless allegations. And I think that some people are just salty. They're salty about, you know, somebody who they did not vote for, somebody that they did not put in their prediction bracket. They're just sore losers. And I don't think you should be sore losers. I think the worst thing that you can do in Maxi Madness is be a sore loser. I think the best thing you can do is put in proof of work, bust your ass, and try to do better for next year. Mm-hmm. This is my opinion. But congratulations to Teddy, and congratulations to the winner of the prediction Pick'em Bracket Challenge. I think I know who it is, but their submission is under the name Rod Palmer's Love Child. And the email address is the Ottawa BTC meetup. So I think that sounds like our friend Boomer up there in what's his fiat name? I forgot what is his fiat name over there in Ottawa.
Yeah, it's Corey.
Yeah. Congratulations. So as you know, Crypto Cloaks decided to give away the Bit Axe in a different giveaway. So we partnered with Altair, and they're going to provide the Bit Axe. You're still going to get the Cypherpunk sticker pack from Ungovernable Misfits. You're still going to get the EVM Park series, the Snarky Candle, Otis Meyer, the two bags of Otis Bitmeyer coffee, as well as the PodConf t-shirt. So that's great. Congratulations to Rod Palmer's Love Child, a.k.a. Corey, a.k.a. Broken Ruler, a.k.a. Boomer, a.k.a. the guy that listens to 60 hours of Bitcoin podcast per week. And hey, we talked about this. He listened to 60 hours of Bitcoin podcast per week. That's how you get the alpha that you need to be able to predict these outcomes in Maxi Madness. Now, he did not predict that Teddy Bitcoins would win, but he did get the most accurate bracket overall.
Oh, very cool. Well, I do want to talk. I want to spend some time talking about the haters. There were some haters this week. I want to talk about the sore losers. But before we get into that, your voice sounds a little bit different. Are you a little bit sick over there, Rod?
Yeah. I'm definitely feeling sick today.
Were you like swapping slobber with Miss Hanalna and she gave you some sort of disease, or what's going on? Were you not smoking enough cigarettes this week? Why are you sick? What's going on?
Well, I feel sick just because I was, I was in Nashville, and I have to admit, I did swap some spit with Miss Hall, not, and I'm a little upset because she DM'd me on Noster and told me that, she also made out with Optimist Fields at PubKey for BGC Sessions 40th birthday party. In New York City this weekend.
Well, yeah. So we might have an issue where a lot of the Bitcoin influencers are getting sick then. If Miss Hodelnod is carrying these diseases around to everybody, she's probably...
If Miss Hodelnod gives another group chat a breakout of cold sores, she's going to lose her. She's going to lose her group chat privileges. This is the third group chat that she's giving cold sores and colds to in the past 2 years.
Very interesting. Were you hanging out with Kaylee in Nashville, or what? Did you see her at all out there?
I did see Kaylee dancing on the bar table at Coyote Ugly, and she was smoking cigarettes inside, and they tried to kick her out. And she jumped, she did like a flip over one of the bachelorette parties and escaped the bar. On the way out, she gave me a high five and she said, "What's up, Rod Palmer?" Everybody was like looking at me like, "Holy shit, he knows this girl." It was pretty cool. But she had like, I don't know, I probably saw her take like five or six shots of different whiskeys, run off the bar, do a backflip, grabbed a cigarette out of somebody's hand, jumped into her white Jeep and drunk drive straight off of Broadway. It was incredible. Everybody was cheering. It's great to have Kaylee back. Great to have her back.
I'm so excited that she's back. I missed her a lot. But yeah, we're going to... I'm sure she stuck the landing too, off the bar.
Oh yes. And she... I saw some like posts on Noster that said... that she was also caught smoking cigarettes inside Tootsie's on Broadway. But, you know, she got on stage. She played some Chris Stapleton with the band at Tootsie's. It was apparently pretty cool.
She's a specimen of a human being. There's no...
That's why we miss her so much. Yeah. We miss her so much. She is not... I mean, she's... They don't build girls like Kaylee to be Monero girls. They build girls like Kaylee for wet t-shirt contents. She's a transparency maxi. That's why she's a Bitcoin blockchain girl, in my opinion.
Yeah. She's definitely an example of women on a Bitcoin standard. I mean, that's
100%.
Why I don't think anybody's put out such stringent job requirements for a podcast producer as we did. And I'm just glad that we were even able to find somebody that met those specifications that we put out.
If you don't have a society that values drinking and driving, you're not going to be able to find producers that can make it to the job interview. I mean, drinking and driving is how you get to job interviews, like the one that we had with Kaylee to hire her. So it's just, I don't know. If you want to fix the economy, you gotta go wax on the drinking and driving laws.
Yeah, I mean, it's just. I feel like drunk driving should be a part of your driver certification test when you're getting
certified.
Drive. Like, if you cannot effectively drive drunk, then you probably shouldn't have a driver's license. In my opinion,
it's gonna happen. But yeah, Kaylee's great. And then before we get into the haters, there is one more bit of some good news that I wanted to share. It's Sydney Sather has agreed to have an expanded role with the Bugle. So there's going to be more Timmy Tether content, some more regular Timmy Tether, maybe some video content. So we might need to find the password to the Rumble account or something. I don't know, but look for more Timmy Tether content. He's going to be producing some of his own shows. He killed it at Maxi Madness. I think that Timmy Tether was probably than Teddy Bitcoins. Timmy Tether and Teddy Bitcoins were the MVP of Maxi Madness 2025. And it just goes to show you, Tether and Bitcoins goes hand in hand. Whether it's Timmy and Teddy or Tron and the time chain. So really excited for that.
I agree. Timmy Tether, his recaps of each segment of the tournament were incredible. They were absolutely impressive. I can't think of a better platform for him to operate on other than Rumble. You know, his name is Timmy Tether, and Rumble is... I'm pretty sure Tether has a big stake in Rumble, and they're going to be onboarding Tether into their product. So I don't see why he would go on YouTube or any of the other video platforms out there. Rumble is and should be Timmy Tether's home for sure.
Yeah. I think Timmy Tether's going to be looking for sponsors for his shows. So we're going to help him with that. So if you're interested in sponsoring a Timmy Tether, daily or weekly video show, reach out to us.
Yeah. Well, before we get too into discussing the haters, I do want to just say, to the haters, I know this is a really high stakes event. This is the premier competition in Bitcoin. I don't think there's any competition bigger than Maxi Madness. It is the most important competition to Bitcoin. There were a lot of bets online, a lot of gambling markets, bookies running off the book stuff. There wasn't anything like official, like on Polymarket or anything. Maybe that'll happen next year. So I know why people's emotions were so strong about the competition, but if you lose a bet, it's not an excuse to harass the contestants. It's not an excuse to harass the coaches coaching the contestants. It's not an excuse to harass the people putting on the event. And, what it felt like to me, after the event, PodConf had some pretty nasty remarks towards us. And I'm regretting partnering with PodConf. I almost wonder if it was sort of a setup by them where they organized a lot of hate towards us. You know, a lot of the people that were directing hate towards us, they were PodConf approved. The whole Swan C-suite was pretty upset at us. Obviously, PodConf approved. And
not everybody is Swan, though. Not everybody is Swan. We can't throw them all under the bus. It's just the Swan C-suite. The low-level workers, the plebs at Swan, have been very supportive.
I agree. I'm glad you said that, because one person I want to highlight of doing a really good job throughout the tournament was Stephen Lubka. I think Stephen Lubka, he performed really well. He worked his butt off. He had a great attitude, showed great sportsmanship throughout the tournament. He advocated for himself without doing too much trash talking. Really a class act. I'd say he is the standard of how to behave during a high stakes event. And I think he really boosted his credibility. Corey Clipston, on the other hand, was the perfect example of how not to behave in the event. He didn't even try. And I know I talked about this a little bit on the podcast with Kaz that we did last week, but he was like the guy that shows up to PE class and doesn't wear your gym shorts, wears your jeans, and sits on the side and looks all pouty and talks about how stupid PE is. But not only that, then he started critiquing the competition as a whole. He started harassing the champion of the event, started harassing Teddy Bitcoins. Just, it's like he had Teddy Bitcoins derangement syndrome. is absolutely insane to me. How poor sportsmanship Corey displayed, and very disappointed in him. As one of Podcom's four horsemen, that's not how you behave. That's not how you promote NGU. He's just sowing division. He's engaging in identity politics, being a Bitcoin social justice warrior. Very, very disappointed. I imagine, I don't know where Corey's mother is, but if Corey's mother saw his behavior, I'm sure she'd be very ashamed with him.
The other one, another first round loser in Maxi Madness this year, who was very, very upset and exhibiting Teddy Bitcoin's strangeness in him, was Joe Carl Lazar. He was very upset. He was posting about how, you know, having Bitcoins in your name does it for the Bitcoin community. The Bitcoin community is very, very good at sniffing out corruption, scammers, things like that. And he's right about that. But I don't think that, like I said, we haven't found anybody who's been scammed by Teddy Bitcoins. There's been a few people who they had very unoriginal ideas that they tweeted about, that they accused Teddy Bitcoins of stealing their tweets. You know, I think sometimes it's very obvious. Like Dan Held steals a very hard work. Somebody puts a lot of hard work into a really good Bitcoin meme, and they're photoshopping it, and they're editing it, and they're doing like adding the intact font, and they're making a really good Bitcoin meme, and Dan Held just rips it off and steals it. But sometimes, you know, somebody posts like a thread about, you know, how Bitcoin fixes this. And, you know, it's very hard to say that you're the person that came up with that original idea. It's a very common idea. But other than that, you know, it's sad to see Joe get Teddy Bitcoin Storage Syndrome, but it was also nice to see a lot of people in the community come together and say, you know, stop taking this, stop letting your hurt feelings impact your work on this mission to orange pill the world. Stop letting Maxi Madness hurt your feelings.
Totally. Yeah.
I think the biggest issue, to put my tinfoil hat on for a second, Bitcoin Twitter has been pretty stale ever since Donald Trump kind of entered the scene. Everybody's been kind of leaning on Donald Trump, hoping that he will just give us the God candle and bring in GU. But we won't have to podcast as much anymore. We won't have to post. We don't have to post as many memes anymore. Is this going to happen? And that's not how it works. So it's been a while since Bitcoin Twitter has, you know, any single company in PodConf, any single trending event has been this all-consuming of the timeline. It has been this successful. And I think PodConf has been jealous of that. And I think that they want to steal Maxi Madness. There's a lot of people talking about forking Maxi Madness, boxing the Bugle out so that the Bugle can't be behind Maxi Madness. I think they want to take it. I think that they want to steal Maxi Madness from us. And so they've been trying to stoke this, you know, this division and this vitriol on the timeline against us so that they can have Maxi Madness for themselves. And I just think if that is true, I just think that's dirty. And I think that I'm glad we hurt your feelings if you're trying to steal Maxi Madness, because I don't think Swan or Joe Carl Lazar or Stacey and Max would do a better job with Maxi Madness than the Bugle. I think PodConf, it's good that PodConf did not have any say in Maxi Madness.
Well, I mean, the standpoint that I would take is I would encourage them to fork because they'd have an inferior. I mean, we saw that there's been a lot of questions and speculation. What's Bitcoin's next block size war going to be? Maybe Bitcoin's next block size war is the Maxi Madness war. And, you know, if they want to do that, if they want to be the next Roger Ver, if they want to be the next Jian Wu, if they want to be the next Craig Wright, then be my guest. We have the longest chain. We're going to do it better than anybody else. We did it better than anybody else. And the reason why is I guarantee none of them are going to smoke as many cigarettes as us. It's just simple as that. They don't read as much as we do. They don't smoke as many cigarettes as we do. They don't have the proper credentials to run such a prestigious event. They don't have the skill sets. We're light years ahead of them. What are you going to do? If you go to school and you want to get a bachelor's degree, it's going to take you 4 years. That's a whole halving cycle that's going to take you to even get the proper credentials to even compete with us. Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's, you know, if they do want to steal it, yeah, you're right. Like, I encourage them. Good luck. Good luck to you, sir. Good luck to you, ma'am. I can't wait to see the 64-person bracket that you put out. I can't wait to see the videos you put out because I, you know, your boos mean nothing to me because I've seen what makes you cheer. And if, you know, if your Maxi Madness is going to be like this echo chamber, you have to be protected from everybody who's ever strayed from the thought crime or had a thought crime or strayed away from the group think. This is going to be such a boring, stale. It's going to be everything the Maxi Madness is trying to go against.
Yeah, it'll be pretty glorious. I mean, I would enjoy to watch the failure. I mean, what are they really upset about? That it's not sponsored by a KYC exchange or a hardware wallet? Is that like right. Their main concern, or is their main concern that there's too much diversity in the contestant field? Or are they concerned that they just want to rig the vote for their betting markets? Or I don't understand what the critiques are. I think probably a lot of it is rooted in jealousy. They see that our team is having an outsized impact in the discussion around Bitcoin. I mean, I guarantee you that none of these people that are going to try and compete with us listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast a week. Like, it's just...
I was going to say just that, exactly.
It's so funny to me that they even suggest that. Like, go ahead and fork it. Have your Bitcoin Cash Maxi Madness. Be Roger Ver. Go ahead. Be my guest.
Yeah. I mean, make every single person who wants to vote in Maxi Madness upload their driver's license, give you their social security number, you know, fucking take a selfie from three different angles, put it through the compliance pipeline. You know what? People are not going to vote. People are not going to vote in Maxi Madness if it takes 5 minutes for them to vote in Maxi Madness. It's just so stupid.
Have every decision, have every tweet ran by a legal and HR department, make sure that it hurts nobody's feelings. Yeah, it's going to be funny. I want to see how the competition looks like.
If you want to do our job marketing Maxi Madness for us, if you want to prove why Maxi Madness can only be run by credentialed journalists, if you want to highlight how stupid and retarded you are compared to us, go ahead and do that. All you're doing is making us stronger and you weaker. Just like crying and saying your feelings are hurt in group chats and on the timeline about Maxi Madness, you're only hurting yourself and strengthening and emboldening us. Even Michael Saylor had fun. He lost in the championship. The most buys, the most engagement, the most impressions of every round is the championship, of course. And he lost, and he was a good sport about it. He even considered changing his name to Mikey Bitcoins for a chance to win the tournament. And, you know, maybe if Corey changed his name to Corey Bitcoins, maybe he would have beat Matt Odell in the first round. Maybe if Joe Carlosar changed his name to you know, well, there's already a Joey Bitcoins, but, you know, maybe Joe Bitcoins, maybe he would have won. Who knows?
I just think it's clear. Is a lot of these people were not prepared. They didn't put the groundwork in. They didn't show up on the Twitter spaces. They didn't promote themselves. They weren't out there making their cases for why they should win. They weren't going on podcasts campaigning for themselves or the contestants that they want to win. This is the funny thing about a lot of these influencers is they're not willing to put in the proof of work. At the end of the day, like they're so passionate about Bitcoin's proof of work, yet they're not willing to actually put in the proof of work themselves.
They're in denial that being hot sometimes just isn't enough. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just being hot is not enough. You have to put in the proof of work. And that, first, let me say that's not a dig against Lynn Alden. Lynn Alden made it to the Final Four. She had a very, very impressive showing this year. And she did very well, you know, against Teddy Bitcoins. But it wasn't Lynn's year. It was Teddy Bitcoin's year. And sometimes that's just the way that it plays out.
Totally.
So if you're looking for an apology from us, you will not get that. Because A, we're not sorry. And we're not even sorry if your feelings are hurt. In fact, if your feelings are hurt, that is kind of why I wake up in the morning. That's why I woke up every morning at 5 a.m. to work with Timmy Tether to produce the Maxi Madness recap. Because I was excited for the people's feelings who were hurt.
How many of these accounts that are getting mad at us? How many of them do you think have tweeted at some point in history that everything is good for Bitcoin?
100% of them. Everything apparently is good for Bitcoin except Teddy Bitcoins winning Maxi Madness. And if Teddy Bitcoins can win Maxi Madness, and that is quote unquote bad for Bitcoin, then you have to look in the mirror and think maybe it's time for you to sell because Teddy Bitcoins won, and the prices, you know, maybe the price going down because it is bad for Bitcoin, but you've got to determine if you think that's true or not.
Totally. Well, Maxi Madness was it dominated Twitter the last 2 weeks, right? Was there anything else that happened that was bigger than Maxi Madness or even remotely close to it?
The only thing that comes close is the Ghibli, the anime pictures. It's not really a Bitcoin specific thing, but that's, you know, the only thing in the wider timeline space that kind of had any bigger impact that I can think of.
I do have a story I wanted to talk about, actually. Did you see that website Ice Raid? I think it's Ice Raid.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I a lot of Trump podcasters like Laura Loomer have been promoting it. So was Tim Cass.
It's incredible. These influencers in the right-wing media sphere are promoting tokenized snitching. And you look at
tokenized tattletales.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the priorities amongst a lot of these people. I don't think I've seen Corey tweet anything about tokenized snitching. But I've seen him tweet it quite a bit, him and Brady, and even Jan Pritzker tweet about Teddy Bitcoins. Where are these people's priorities at?
I think Teddy Bitcoin's derangement syndrome is warping their incentives.
It's incredible to me. I mean, it's just, but anyways, I wonder if this is going to be a new trend, if snitching is going to be tokenized in different ways. I know the UK has been looking for ways for people to snitch about mean Twitter posts. I think a lot of the memes around Maxi Madness probably would be considered non-compliant in the UK. People would probably be getting arrested and thrown in prison for that. I doubt people have been really focused on snitching about their mean Twitter posts and memes there. I wonder if the UK government is going to look at tokenizing snitching there. There's a lot of countries, that really want to stamp out non-compliant behavior in general. And kind of pairing shitcoining with snitching seems like a match made in heaven. And I wonder, we know that Pledator likes to snitch on people.
I was going to say Pledator knows that being a tattletale does not require a token. You do not need a token to be a tattletale. And you can go back to the times of the Bible, times of the Quran, the times of ancient history. They didn't need meme coins and tokens to be tattletales back then. When we were growing up in school, the tattletales didn't need tokens back then, and they don't need it now. You do not need a token to be a tattletale. You can just be a tattletale and get paid in sats. You don't need a special token. You don't need to put it on the blockchain. You just need to be a principled tattletale.
Well, I wonder, so like, I think we all have the ability to be corrupted in some way. We all come into this with our high moral standards at the end of the day. You know, for Robert Breedlove, it was pairing clout with tokens. For me, it was being able to accept Monero for the podcast, which is actually a pretty good way to buy non-KYC cigarettes peer-to-peer. For Pledator, I wonder if what will corrupt him is the ability to snitch on people and receive tokens for doing it. So I almost wonder if we should set a trap for Pledator. If we could create a Solana meme coin that could be paid out to people for snitching on unregistered securities, do you think we could trap Pledator and corrupt him as a result of doing that?
That's a good question. It's like, if you give him the opportunity to be kind of like an oracle who reports every time somebody messages him in his DMs or on Telegram to offer him, you know, to be a pre-miner or an early, you know, investor in a snitching operation or in a meme coin that he could snitch on them and report that, and it would trigger, you know, some smart contract to pay out on ICE raid. He might be interested. You might just have to find that thing to pique his interest. So, you know, we saw that movie trailer, the trailer for how to catch a shitcoiner, and it was Pledator. You know, Pledator, it's kind of like he was setting up these stings for shitcoiners, people to buy meme coins, people to buy Monero. And when they showed up to the house to do the peer-to-peer transaction, Pledator was waiting for them with all their texts, all their DMs, all them printed out. He was ready to report these scammers to Corey Clipston, so Corey Clipston could expose them on the timeline. May have to, you know, turn the tables on Pledator and see if we can catch him in his own devices.
That would be an interesting sting operation. And I feel comfortable talking about it publicly on the podcast because we know that Pledator doesn't listen to this one. He's got some bugle derangement syndrome for some reason. He actually has us blocked on Twitter, strangely enough.
You know, for all this tough talk, Pledator doesn't listen 40 hours per week, and it shows.
No, he's too busy sleuthing on who to snitch on Twitter. How many times do you think that Pledator snitched on Jason Williams?
Oh, I think I'm trying to submit a FOIA request to the federal government to officially find out how many personal emails that Pledator sent to Gary Gensler about throwing Parabolic in his meme coin activity. I predict it's somewhere in the thousands. I think that Pledator submitted, you know, something to Gary Gensler every single day of the Biden administration.
I guess a topic that we could talk about is this event at PubKey. It looks like, so you were saying BTC Sessions, one of the biggest promoters of more women in Bitcoin, celebrated his 40th birthday at PubKey. It looks like I'm looking at a video of him singing karaoke there with some guy with weird gloves laying on the floor. There are a lot of influence.
Yeah, he was singing Creed.
Oh. How was the
singing? Yeah. Mike Germano had a big introduction. He introduced BTC Sessions before his song when he sang Creed. You could see Nico from Simply Bitcoin was there. Opti was there. He looked kind of drunk in the background. He probably had just made out Miss Hall a lot in the bathroom at that point. Sally was there. Looks like he dyed his hair like Eminem. So he's got like a clearly Jewish fro that's like bleached blonde. Chris Alamo, if you guys don't know who that is, looked like he was there. Looked like Kendall, the hot Bitcoin Spaces girl, was there. A lot of people at PubKey.
Yeah, there were a lot of people at PubKey. Tatum Turnip was there. He was one of the notable
Tatum, celebrities. Yeah, Tatum, Maggie Morse, here at the Bugle. She had a big crush on Tatum. She thinks Tatum is hot, and Tatum likes hearing that. Tatum had a bad weekend. He saw his ex-girlfriend backstage at the Ultra Music Festival in Miami. She was hanging out with Diplo and Steve Aoki. And for some people, you know, Tatum's ex sounds a lot like Miss Hobblenot. So you can imagine the emotions he has when he sees her on the timeline or a YouTube video backstage in Miami. It's pretty tough.
Looks like it's Sally wearing the weird gloves in the video and laying on the floor.
Yeah, Sally almost made it into the Maxi Madness tournament. Unfortunately, he just really hasn't been super active on Twitter the past few months. And we weren't sure if he was going to participate. And then he comes out of the woodwork and he starts partying after Maxi Madness drama kicks off. So apologies to you, Sally. We would have liked to see you compete in Maxi Madness this year.
Well, there's still a chance. We'll probably be ending the promotion of the Maxi Madness shirt until next year. There's still a chance to head over to Orange Label and get one of those limited edition t-shirts. Maybe we won't bring it back next year. But if we do it next year, there'll be another, probably a different iteration of it.
For sure.
Still working on, I haven't had the chance to finalize. I think I need to revamp the comply line, but look out for that coming out in the future. The comply line's still stellar, of course. I would say the flagship clothing line that the Beagle has right now is the 40 HPW line. Chad Rack sent me a picture of him wearing his 40 HPW kind of like cigarette themed shirt.
Nice. I wore that in Nashville this weekend, and I got a lot of compliments on it from people who didn't even know what 40 hours per week was. They really liked the shirt. And we had some people who reached out and said that they really wanted a 40 hours per week shirt. They didn't want like something that said, this is a Bitcoin podcaster, or this is what, you know, my husband is a Bitcoin. They just wanted a big, prominent 40 HPW logo. And so that is now available. So if you go to the website, check that out. You can get just the OG 40 HPW logo. It's now available.
Rob Hamilton was looking pretty good in his PodConf gear, but I would suggest not buying PodConf gear, especially after they did us so dirty in the tournament.
I had a chance to, I ran into Rob this weekend in Nashville. He bought me a pack of Marlboro Reds. So I was smoking on those this weekend. It's probably why my voice is a little raspy. I was smoking Reds with a virus or something. I don't know. Also ran into Jesse Schrader from Amboss. He was, you know, everybody at Bitcoin Plark on Friday afternoon when I was there had already left for the day. Everybody gone home. Maybe they were excited to sit in Nashville rush hour traffic, listen to Bitcoin podcast. They wanted to get an early start on their listening that weekend, but Jesse from Amboss was still at Bitcoin Park working very, very hard to make Amboss the most compliant Lightning infrastructure company in the space. Really, really excited. He's really excited about Tether on Lightning and making that available to. So if you want to use compliant Tether Lightning, look up Jesse, look up Amboss.
I think Voltage is trying to give Amboss a run for their money as far as
That's right. When I saw Jesse, I was like, you're the guy from Voltage, right? And he's like, no, Amboss. I'm like, oh, I apologize. I get you guys confused all the time. You're just so compliant. It's like a neck and neck race for the most compliant Lightning infrastructure company. That sometimes I get too confused.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an arms race between a lot of these Bitcoin companies to see who can be the most compliant by June. They're getting ready.
Yeah, they're getting ready for the next big tournament. So if your feelings were hurt for Maxi Madness, hopefully you get over that, because we are 60 days away from Compliance Pride Month and Compliance Pride Tournament. So big stuff.
Definitely. One thing I do want to say and kind of plug is, stay tuned for Vegas. We're going to have some announcements in Vegas. We're pretty much locked in on doing a live event that highly encourage people, if you're planning on going there, to be at. It's not going to be at the conference. It'll be a side event. And I will announce details of that more publicly when it is public. But we'll hopefully also be doing some more events in partnership with some other groups, but we're just kind of waiting to finalize things and announce it once that actually happens. But the Bugle will be live in person, and I think it's going to be a little bit more interesting than just a live Bugle Weekly podcast. But that could be on the agenda too. We could do a live Bugle Weekly
podcast. Big crowd, big show. You've completely phrased. I can't hear anything you're saying. Or your video froze too. And now you're back.
Yeah, sorry about that. Technical difficulties. Revolution will have good UX, but now I'm back. I missed the last of what you just said. But yeah, Vegas could be great. Well,
yeah. I didn't say much about Vegas. I was just piggybacking off of what you were saying about big live show coming up. But stay tuned for more information about that.
Yeah, so do we have any more announcements or things that we want to plug?
No, I'm excited to get into the boosts. So the boosts will be on our 1 year anniversary episode, and we got a lot of cigarettes that we can afford after this episode's boost. So really excited to get into those.
Totally. Yeah. I had fun with the 1 year episode. That was a good episode. It was Kaylee's first episode back since her hiatus. So that was pretty cool. But we also had to kind of recap. If you didn't listen to that one, you should go back and listen to it. We had a lot of people send in like really heartfelt messages. We had Mars, Stephen Lubka, Rob Hamilton, Sly Goomba, Fundamentals. Fundamentals' message was really, really nice. Kaylee said some nice words about us. Am I missing anybody? I think that was it.
Plug Chain, we pulled from one of their podcast episodes directly. Mm-hmm. That was a really good one.
You did a really good job on that show. I would encourage anybody that hasn't listened to Plug Chain's interview of Rod Palmer to go check that out. Awesome episode. Great, great discussion on Maxi Madness. A little bit dated now. Things have updated since then, but it was an absolutely phenomenal interview, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Well, let's get into the boost. So, first boost from Fundamentals, 21,000 sats. It's quite a few cigarettes. Quite a few cigarettes. It's 21 cigarettes. That's over two packs. Congrats, boys. It's a true achievement to have accomplished and built what you did this year. I'm remembering how I would go on podcasts last year and make them talk about the Bugle. Intellectual Silk Road, he said 49 HPW, so he's boosting it up a little bit. No KYC SIGs, the list goes on. You guys have crushed it, and I can't wait to see what you guys do next. Well, I want to say a big thank you to Fundamentals. I think Fundamentals has been a huge addition. I would consider him my comedy coach. I have yet to go and take an attempt at stand-up. Life's been a little bit busy, but it's definitely on the docket. He gave me a crash course in the world of comedy, which I really didn't have a ton of knowledge of. Showed me a lot of his favorite comedians. He told us jokes. He sent us clips of from the past of his jokes. Really, really quality guy who's also been a big, big supporter of the Beagle. And, you know, one of the ways that you can support the Beagle, like Fundamentals, is just to get the word out there about us. Because I don't think there's a lot of people that know specifically everything that we're doing. A lot of people are resting on their laurels, not listening to 40 hours Bitcoin podcast a week. There's quite a few people that don't know that we have a podcast. You know that Pierre Richard didn't know that we had a podcast?
It's crazy. Yeah, it's Reset in Spaces. Fundamentals is, you know, he's given us really big props here, and we deserve them. But who really deserves props themselves in the past year has been Fundamentals himself. Fundamentals is now, he's on 3 or 4 different podcasts now. So he's got Rock Paper Bitcoin. He's got Back on Chain. I don't know the name. What's the name of the math podcast? I'm blanking on that one.
I tried listening to his math podcast, and it was a little bit too much for me.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah, I'm a credentialed journalist. I have an 81 IQ. I didn't go to school for math. I went to school for journalism. There's not a whole lot of math done in journalism. So I struggled with that one a little bit. But I did think it was a really cool idea of a podcast, which is helping people to verify.
Do 40 hours of math homework a week. But yeah, in the last year, Fundamentals has quickly become my favorite Jewish Bitcoin podcaster, for sure.
There's quite a few Jewish Bitcoin podcasters, so that's a pretty big title. Ron Palmer's favorite Jewish Bitcoin podcaster. I'm trying to think I don't know who my favorite Jewish Bitcoin podcaster. I'd probably say it's Fundamentals too.
Phil. Thank you so much, Fundamentals. Everything you say, really take that to heart. You've been one of our biggest supporters this whole time, and it was great to meet you in person last year in Nashville. The next one is from one of our best boosters here the past few months, late stage HODL. He boosted us 15,000 sats. He's a big booster. He's a big dollar booster for sure. He says, I don't understand what everyone was complaining about regarding the Maxi Madness committee picks. The credentials of the committee should not be questioned. Agreed. And just like I read in my book to my 2-year-old child, you get what you get and you don't get upset. Probably written by Ludwig von Mises or Selma Hayek or something. Credentialed, trusted, verified. Yeah, thank you very much, Late Stage, for the support and understanding the importance of trusting and not second-guessing a credentialed journalist and a credentialed committee. Exactly. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. That's what Maxi Madness is all about. Nobody gets to have undue influence, or they don't get to manipulate our decisions or the committee's decisions. They just get put in based on what they've put out there and what we think they deserve. And you get what you get from there. And if you cry about it, you probably just won't be included next year.
Totally. I agree. I mean, the committee, I believe, did a really good job. I don't think the committee made any mistakes. I think they really researched the contestants. It's hard because there's so many qualified people to compete in the tournament that could have been included. And I think they really had a lot of thought put behind who they picked, and I'm proud of the committee. I stand behind them wholeheartedly, and I'm not going to apologize for their awesome performance and strategic picks. I think the tournament was a smashing success. I think a lot of people had a lot of fun time. Now there were some sore sports, people that probably lost bets, There might be some bookies going and stealing people's washing machines to try and collect on some unpaid dues. We do know a lot of Bitcoiners don't have any dry powder to pay their bookies if they lose a bet. But yeah, I mean, I stand behind it. I stand behind it all wholeheartedly. And I really appreciate the boost late stage HODL. And
credentials don't care about your feelings.
I do want to highlight, I really think it is a cool thing to do if you're a parent to read to your children. I think that's really a quality thing to do as a parent. And my father did it for me. I do it for my son. I read my son all sorts of books. I'm reading him Software by Jason Lowry, reading him Broken Money by Lynn Ald. And I mean, obviously done the Bitcoin Standard. And, you know, I have read my son Atlas Shrugged a few times already, and he loves it. He loves Atlas Shrugged so much. When Hank Reardon goes into his monologue during the court case, that's like my son's favorite part of the book. He starts jumping up and down and cheering during that section.
Time is limited right now, so we got to rip through some of these boosts. The next one is from, the next one is yours.
Open Mike, thank you for the 10,000 sat boost. Surprised that you're not on an airplane for this one. Celebrating the Bugle 1 year anniversary by making compliance fashionable in a new Comply crew neck. Thank you for buying the Comply shirt. Really appreciate it. Imagine you're probably the most fashionable person in your general sphere. Going to turn a lot of heads with that one.
The next two, QW Quiet Warrior, the guy behind the 40 good mornings per week, and Avi Burra, both from Flap Chain Radio. So no, Quiet Warrior says 1 year anniversary, non-KYC cigarette fund. He boosts us 10,000 sats. Thank you, Quiet Warrior. And Avi as well, congrats on 1 year. Looking forward to another compliant year of 40 hours per week. And he also boosts us 10,000 sats. Really appreciate your guys' support and look forward to doing another Club Chain rip sometime in the next year or so.
We'll definitely have to interview them on Behind the Podcast at some point soon.
100%.
Yeah. Thank you for the boost. Yeah, I'm impressed with the boost. We might be able to afford some Jewish lawyers here pretty soon. Next boost is from our good friend Shadrach. Congrats, Beagle team. What an achievement. Hashtag 40 HPW, headphone emoji, smoke or cigarette emoji, heart emoji. Big thank you, Shadrach. I appreciated your DM this morning of you wearing the 40 HPW shirt. That made me really happy. That's awesome.
Yep. Big supporter, Dave, 40 HPW, 2,420 sats. Dave from New Zealand says, Dick and Rod, happy 52,560 blocks day. Shout out to the whole Bugle team and the intellectual Silk Road. Stay thermodynamically sound, smoke non-KYC cigarettes. Dave, one of our oldest and longest supporters, has been here the whole year. Thank you for the boost.
Yeah, really appreciate it. And thank you for the support during the tournament. Anonymous for 1,010 sats. Can you see whose name
that's
this
Blizza.
Is?
That's Blizza.
Cool. Thank you for bringing credential journalism to the space. Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for the boost, Blizza.
Next one is from Sawzal. Congrats to the Bugle, and thanks for the best spent hour of my 40 HPW week in and out. Nipi says 1,000 sats. Thank you, Sawzal.
Thank you very much. As usual, we got boost from Pies, 1,000 sats. Happy anniversary, motherfuckers, LFG. Well, thank you very much, Pies. We're a big fan of you as well, and you know that.
And another one from Pies, another 1,000 sats. Looks like it might have been a double boost. But then he has one more for the 100 sats, with just hashtag 40HPW at the end. So, yeah, Pies, we always hear multiple double boosts, triple boosts, separate boosts. Pies is coming back. He's boosted multiple times. Just so active.
Thank you very much. Looks like a double boost from Sawzall. Congrats to the Bugle, and thanks to the best spent hour of my hashtag 40 HPW week in and out. You're welcome.
Yeah, and then the last one was from BTC on board, Ellen Hance, or hashtag CTV 200 sats. Any boosts with lightning emojis, as per usual. Always appreciate BTC on board. Always gives us a couple cigarettes worth of boost per week.
Well, thank you for everybody who tuned into the show. Thank you for all our boosters as usual. We do what we do because of you. To keep the boost coming. We need to smoke cigarettes to be able to do what we're doing.
Yeah, I gotta go. Go tend to the mushrooms growing in my basement. Got a mushroom shaman here to help me figure this out. So that's a pretty cool thing. I'll share my experiences with that. That's after this harvest is over. So
very cool. Well, we'll catch you next week on the Beagle Weekly. Thanks for stopping by.
I light my cigarette. Take a good long puff. I live with no regrets. I've heard quite enough. They whisper their lies, yet still I'm immune. Pain will make you wise. I have nothing left to lose. I'm the man they warned you about. Can you hear the sound, the song of the ungovernable misfit? I won't live my life for you, nor ask you to live yours for mine. Seeking what is good and true, never wasting a moment of time. Choosing discomfort in search of something more. To run towards fate, not afraid to take risks and explore, doing what it takes to be great. I'm the man they warned you about, the one that gives them fear. I have no room for doubt, my direction crystal clear. I'll burn it all to the ground before I will ever serve. Can you hear the sound, the song of the ungovernable misfit? I don't care what the masses think, they don't have the capacity to use their brains. They drown their sorrows in distractions and drink, pumping garbage through their veins. They look at me and judge, maladjusted, unhappy and unfulfilled. I will stand my ground and refuse to budge as I wait for it to break so I can rebuild. I'm the man they warned you about, the one that gives them fear. I have no room for doubt, my direction crystal clear. I'll burn it all to the ground.